السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Can I just test the sound? Can you hear me?
Yep, we can all hear you.
Yeah, lovely. إن شاء الله. الحمد لله. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي جعل ذكره طمأنينة للقلوب وجلاء لها عن رين الذنوب ومطرات للوسواس الخناس المكذوب. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب، وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب. أما بعد، فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his revealed word, and they were not commanded except to worship Allah, being sincere to him in religion, inclining to the truth, and establishing prayer and giving zakah, giving charity. And that is the correct religion. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to our class on Imam Ghazali's Ihya, covering intentions, sincerity, and verbal habits. And as you know, this course is focused on developing our relationship with Allah, with our Creator, developing a relationship with the Creator who did not only create the trillions of stars and the billions of galaxies that make us feel insignificant when we look at the sky and ponder them. There are billions and trillions of stars we see, of what we can see. But he's also created billions and trillions of creatures that are infinitesimally smaller than us. And in so doing, he shows us his power to sustain the largest galaxies in the orbit. He sustains all of these bodies in space in their orbits, so that we can predict in 100 years' time a comet will come and when it would arrive and when it would leave our orbit. Everything is in precision. Kullum fi falakin yasbahun. They're all in their orbits, as he says in the Quran. So, on one hand, we have this grand scale of creation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created billions of galaxies and trillions of stars. And when we ponder that, it can sometimes lead us to think that we are insignificant to all of this. We are nothing. We're just a speck. Our Earth, the planet upon which we are, is a speck of dust in the middle of all of this. But then when you look at the other direction, you see that there are also billions and trillions of creatures that are smaller than us. And as you go down, you find that it is the same power that sustains the large galaxies in space and keep them in orbit. That power is also sustaining the heartbeat of a tiny ant. That power is his. So on both scales, on the macro scale and on the micro scale, Allah's care and his sustenance is everywhere. He takes care of everything. He cares and sustains for all. That power that keeps the galaxy in orbit and the power that keeps the tiny heart of an ant beating belongs to him. That power that keeps our heart beating is his. He pays attention to all, large and small. Nothing escapes him. And so we should not fall into the trap of shaitan in thinking that, oh, well, I am so tiny and insignificant in this vastness of the universe. Why would the Creator worry about me? And of course he does. Just as he cares for every fledgling bird in the nest and every tiny creature, the microscopic creatures, they're all sustained and he cares. So his attention is not drawn from one because he can see and he can be he can care and be sustained and sustain one creature. It does not shut him off. His attention is not limited as ours are. We can only focus on one thing at a time. And so in the guidance he sent with the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel, he wants us to, in that hadith, in that conversation, the angel Gabriel, the hadith we read last term, that he wanted us, when he asked what is ihsan, in the hadith Jibreel, what is ihsan, he said, an ta'budallaha ka'annaka tara, that fa'in lam takun tara fa'innahu yarak, that to worship Allah as if you see him, for verily if you see him not, no, you should be absolutely certain and be completely certain in your heart that Allah is seeing you and he knows what you're doing. And because he sees you, you have to worship him as if you see him. And he does not want you to be more distracted, to be distracted by the eyes of others. And this is the problem. This is the problem that we're attempting to solve in these chapters of this book that we've chosen. And he does not want us to be distracted by the eyes of people and to be concerned more about our status in the eyes of people than we are concerned about our status in front of him. Now, in the concluding lecture last term, we studied the chapter Bayanu Darajat al-Riya, the exposition of levels of ostentation, levels of show, of showing off, and where we learned about the layers upon layers of mental schemes that we habitually activate when doing good deeds. And Imam Ghazali took us through these several levels of these mental scheming. And at one level, it is the clear, the what is known as Riya al-Jali, where there's clear motive of showing off, and there is no intention whatsoever about reward from Allah. And when you indulge in good deeds and you forget, you indulge in good deeds that are ostensibly for Allah, but in reality it is for show, then that is the Riya al-Jali. That's the one that has no mixing. But then there are others that are mixed. There are mixed motives of showing off and of seeking rewards, both. And these come in varying proportions. Sometimes the urge to show off is dominant. Sometimes the urge for reward is dominant. And sometimes they're equal. And he went through the consequences of each of these. And I'm hoping, inshallah, I think that you have all revised the lessons from last term. And those of you who are joining us for the first time this year, in this term, I would strongly advise that you listen to the lectures. They're available on YouTube, so that you can get up to scratch and follow the discussion. Now, we also discussed that Riya is more subtle than the ant crawling on a black stone in a black ant on a black stone in the dark night. And this, as of course, is in light of the hadith, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ash-shirku fi ummati." الشرك في هذه الأمة أخفى من دبيب النملة السوداء على سفات سوداء في ظلمة الليل أو في ليلة ظلماء رواه الترمذي. That shirk in this ummah is more subtle than a black ant crawling on a black stone in a pitch dark night. In other words, the subtle forms of riya included the mental schemings that do not affect the overt intention that we perceive. It's not, but the perception and the quality of the action is affected. And for example, you know, someone usually finds it difficult to wake up for tahajjud, but then suddenly it becomes easy, as in getting up for tahajjud suddenly. And the reason for this is because that person has guests in the house at night who will see him praying at night. So the fact that the prayer to get up is easier, he would not neglect praying at night, but because there is visitors, the prayer praying becomes easy, and the fact that the presence of the visitors has made the praying easy to get up, it's easier to come out in the cold and make wudu and take the duvet off and face the cold, is easier in the presence of people. That is proof of the presence of a scheme of show in the heart, and that needs to be addressed. These are subtler forms of the riya, subtle forms of the showing off. And then going deeper than that was a second level scheme that did not make, where the effort did not become easier. The things did not come become easier. The action, like the tahajjud, would not be easier because it would be equal, but it facilitates a joy in the heart to find out that other people knows that you are doing some good deed. And when people find out, you become happy about it. And that joy can be disguised form of riya, a scheme in the heart. And if that is not repelled, then it feeds a vein of riya, it feeds a vein of show that reduces the quality, it reduces the urge to continue and to propel you to towards continuing, towards seeking, and then you start looking for schemes to facilitate the disclosure of your deeds through indirect signaling, you know, showing a mark on your forehead, or that I've I'm tired today because I was up late last night studying, praying or reading Quran. And then even more subtle than that was the expectation of reverence and honor from people for your piety. And this one is very subtle, which is a form of cashing in of one's reward for being pious. An example of this is of some pious person who expects to be approached with salam. People have to approach him with salam and give him special privileges. You know, he goes to the shop, and because he's a pious man, he expects to get the prices reduced. And that expectation in the heart is itself proof that one's intention still has traces of riya. It has traces of showing off, because the knowledge that Allah knows what you are doing should be sufficient. And further expectation from people is usually a sign of some trace of deep riya in the heart. And he gave this clever explanation with the example of what can actually happen in the mind, and the example of an insane person seeing us. And this is due to simulation. Now we know that human beings simulate all the time. And here there should be no difference in the heart between an animal and an infant, or between a madman and an insane person seeing you if you do your good deeds, you know. There should be no difference between a sane and an insane person seeing you or finding out about it. Visitors in the house should be no different in your heart from your cat walking into the room at night and seeing you praying tahajjud. But there is usually a difference, and that is because of simulations. We run simulations in our minds about thoughts and actions of intelligent people, people of intellect, intelligent people. And we imagine and predict through these simulations what people will think and say about us. And maybe maybe they will become our followers, or they will love us, or they will do favors for us, or give us privileges. And they, of course, they will tell others as well. You can simulate all of that in the mind. However, when it comes to an infant or an insane person or an animal, we are unable to simulate and predict what they will do, because their thoughts are generally unpredictable. Now, a point to note here is that not every trace of joy in this scenario is blameworthy. And this is the completing of the chapter, which I'm going to summarize. I'm not going to read that because I want to go on to treatment. What he says here is that in this completion, he says that there are nuanced motivations that do not fall into the category of riya, that the joy can come for other reasons in the heart. And the first was a person who did not intend to show off his good deed anyway, but somehow they found out. Allah made it possible that they found out. And this is what he says: "Wa yakuna qasduhu ikhfa' ta'ati, walakin lamma tala' alayhi al-khalq 'alima anna Allaha atla'ahum." That this person, then he said that he intended to hide, or he or she intended to hide their good deed, so that it's only between them and their creator, only between them and Allah. But then Allah caused it to be disclosed. Allah disclosed it even though he was trying to conceal it. And here, the joy is over what Allah did, not over what you have done, but what Allah did. So that can bring joy to the heart, and the person can conceal, the person generally, we conceal our bad deeds, but this is a person concealing his bad deeds and his good deeds, but Allah has concealed his bad deed and then disclosed this person's good deed. And for that, a joy in the heart and is possible, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, and then there's a second reason. The second reason for the joy could be that the taking this, that this starts by taking what has happened in the as evidence, taking what Allah has done as evidence that Allah will do the same on the day of judgment. What did Allah do? Allah concealed his bad deeds and exposed and disclosed his good deeds. Somehow people found out. And this is very important to think that whenever someone says something bad about you, you should, and we covered this last term as well, it's a very powerful thought to have in your mind to remember that if somebody says something bad about you, not to get overly concerned and go into depression over it, because you can easily say that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disclosed one thing about me, but there are lots of things that they don't know about me, which if they knew, it would have been much worse. It could have been much worse. So Allah is still covering me. Allah is still shielding me from disgrace. So, and in this case, you can take that as evidence that this person, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused something to be disclosed, and that he may do that also on the day of judgment. That Allah treated me like this in the dunya, and he will do so. So for that, you can have joy in the heart. And then the third reason for joy can be where people are inclined towards emulating, that they will then emulate what you have done by finding out what you have done. Not that you went out and showed, but people found out, and then they will follow you. In other words, you will receive multiple rewards for setting a good example, and which is, of course, not blameworthy. So setting good examples, you are doing it for Allah, but then people follow you in doing it, then for that, a joy in the heart is not blameworthy. And the fourth reason for joy could be in knowing that the believers, Ahlul Iman, are lovers of good deeds. They are the people of faith. The people of faith, excuse me. Yeah, the people of faith are Ahlul Iman. So instead of finding fault or becoming jealous of your action, they have valued it, and they have and that is proof of sound iman, and for that there should be joy in the heart. However, this one is particularly difficult. In Imam Murtada al-Zubaydi, the great scholar who wrote an extensive commentary, a 10-volume commentary on this book, Imam Ghazali's book, he said in particular about this point. He said that ولكن للشيطان ولكن ولكن للشيطان في الإثم في الإثم ولكن للشيطان في الإثم تغريدات وتلبيسات ولذلك قل ما يوجد معه الإخلاص. That this person, that in this area, Shaitan has a lot of tweets, and it's interesting he's using the word تغريد. In modern Arabic, تغريد, يغرد means to tweet, but it's Shaitan has tweets and talbisat, tricks, which is he's constantly whispering. The تغريد is the تغريد العصافير, the whispers, the tweeting of the bird, tweeting of the sparrow. Well, in Arabic, that is known as zagzagataha. Tardid al-aswat, when it keeps repeating itself. That, in this fourth category, it's dangerous, because he said it's وَقَلَّمَا يُوجِدُ مَعَهُ الْإِخْلَاصِ, that people might think that they are having good, they have husn al-dhan, they are having good opinion of Muslims, but it's a disguised form of Riya, so we should be careful about this one. As for the joy in the heart that is despicable, it is, of course, the one with simulations and predictions and expectations of position in the heart of others. We're aiming to have position, that is the Riya that we are trying to avoid, the one that we are being warned about. Now, as I said, the core topic of this course is Ikhlas, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more worried about the Ikhlas of his Ummah than he was worried about the coming of Dajjal, about the coming of the Antichrist. Because every prophet that came warned their people about the coming of the Antichrist, about the coming of Dajjal. And when it came to Dajjal, the comparison with Dajjal and this problem, the problem of Riya, the problem of the hidden shirk, the problem of show and doing good and ostensibly for Allah, but then showing it to people, then that he said that this is I'm more worried about this than I am worried about Dajjal for you. So, and we also know that this is the opening scene. The opening scene on the Day of Judgment will be public humiliation of three grand failures: the failure of the scholar, the failure of the martyr, and the failure of the generous person, the philanthropist. The philanthropist will be told that you give all these wealth, all this, so that people can say that, oh, you are very kind. And so will the scholar be told that, look, you wanted people to say, oh, you're very knowledgeable, and it was said, so there's nothing for you here. And so the martyr as well will be told that you are keen to become to be known as courageous. So this is of utmost importance. Now, as you have seen, the focus so far have predominantly been on Riya without addressing the chapters on Ikhlas specifically. And there's a reason for that, which is that, in fact, there are two reasons why I've chosen to start this discussion from the chapter of Riya. First is that al-ikhlasu bi mu'alajati ar-riya, that this is a fundamental formula for creating ikhlas, is that if you treat Riya, if you treat the urge to show off, then you will, the result of it, the treatment, the successful treatment of Riya results in ikhlas. And so that's a general principle in this process. So if you eradicate Riya from your heart, then ikhlas will flourish. The second reason is specific to us living here, living now here in the 21st century, and is in that we are living in a hyper Riya society. Today, my plan, of course, is to talk about the treatment of the disease Riya. But before I do so, I want us to reflect again on the nature of the times in which we live, and in particular to refresh our minds with some of the discussions we've had last term. The discussion about the way cultural norms and practices spread in society. We tend to adopt elements of the culture in which we live through an automatic process, a process akin to, as I said before, osmosis. It's an osmotic process. And in previous times, when people wanted to show off, for instance, they want to show off their possessions or their skills or something that they can do, their deeds, then they would have to actively go out and seek proximities to people in order to facilitate the viewing. You would have to physically be in a place where people can see you. And the other point is that showing off was also something that society by and large looked down upon. It was not seen as something that was praiseworthy. The word itself, show off, was coined to describe this kind of behavior as undesirable. But in our social media society today, it has become not only extremely easy to put yourself, the proximities are very easy to find. We can put our possessions and our actions and our display on display very easily. We do not have to go out of our way to find proximity to people so that they can see what we are showing. So that, and also it to show off, to put ourselves on display and to show off, has become culturally acceptable and desirable to put everything on show. So the concept of showing is an in an ostentatious manner was something that was that the English language holds as unseemly. It's an unseemly thing, inappropriate for your character, if a character of the individual. The word show, of course, still has some negative connotations when attached to the word off. If you say show off, there is a negative connotation. But when I use the word ostentation, people have to scratch their head. What do you actually mean? If you say in an ostentatious manner, the frequency of the usage of that in English is very low. People don't get it straight away. You have to be you have to be educated. You have to be schooled on it. Now, and the problem is that the word show to describe is used generally. It has been used in recent past to describe plays and movies and displays, and this has undermined much of the negative connotation in the word. As shows and plays become items of great attention of the masses, the concept of showing off as being something inconsistent with good character has gradually been eroded. Now, this change has a knock-on effect on life in the modern world in a vast way, from the fashion industry to the emergence of the attention economy, from social media tech to selfie proliferation, where 80% of the pictures on social media today are actually selfies. Even the architecture in which we have today, the focus of the beautification is primarily on the outside. Before, it used to be in the way people, if you go to some of the old structures, for example, in Morocco, you'll see that the outside of the buildings are all plain, but when you go in, you get a blast of color and beauty from inside, because you do not want to make your neighbors feel deprived. So you keep the beauty of your buildings and everything inside. Nowadays, everything is turned upside down, inside out. Buildings are left grotty and despicable on the inside, as long as they're covered with shiny, attractive cladding or some sort of material to make it shine, to make it glitter. Now, why am I telling you this? The reason is to recognize again, to recognize that when it comes to RIA, we in the 21st century are living in a hyper-RIA society, like no other society before. And as members of this society, we suffer knowingly or unknowingly the influences of these trends in that osmotic process of cultural inculcation, where we talked about earlier, that process of things seeping in like damp, where the historic and natural inhibitions to show off are fading, have faded. Now, despite the spiraling statistics, and the other problem, this is, it of course develops a problem for believers in the fact that you can end up corrupting your deen, but for people in general, they're spiraling. The consequences of it, the negative consequences of spiraling statistics of anxiety, depression, melancholy, suicide, are direct results of these trends, where once people used to be ashamed of showing off, nowadays showing off is globally regarded as acceptable behavior. You know, a few days ago on Sunday, I was there was a woman who crashed into an icy river. A river broke, and the car was sinking into the river, and she stood on top of the car. And while it was sinking, and the rescuers were hustling to get her or were racing to save her, she stood up and took a selfie of herself. On that's all she thought she could do at that time was to take a selfie. So that you can show it to people. Every year now we have like hundreds of people are dying while taking selfies. These trends have consequences for everyone. Even if we are religious, it has consequences for piety and our religiosity. We will also feel the strong need somehow to show, because we are members of the society, and it has, as I said, this osmotic process. It invades and causes us to feel that yes, everybody is showing, so I should show something. Everybody says something, I should show something. So we put our ibadah, we put our acts of worship on displays. And so in many ways, we are in greater need for the cures of this disease than those who have lived on the earth before us. And therefore, we should feel a greater sense of urgency to deal with it. And it is with this concern, this sense of concern, that I want us to approach this chapter, similar to the treatment of cancer. It's that, first, when you're treating a disease like cancer, there are two stages. First is the surgery, and then the ongoing medication treating the disease. And so I want to read to you now that chapter. We'll start this today, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بيان دواء الرئاء وطريق معالجة القلب فيه. That the exposition of the treatment of ria and the way of medicating the heart, of treating the heart in it. وقد عرفت مما سبق أن الرياء محبط للأعمال. That you have learned from what has preceded that ria, this showing off, destroys your actions. It causes it to be completely rendered null and void. وسبب للمقت عند الله تعالى. And above that, it is a reason for Allah to be displeased with you. And what greater tragedy can that be? وإنه من كبائر المهلكات. And it is one of the great calamities, one of the great destroyers. وما هذا وصفه فجدير بالتشمير عن ساق الجد في إزالته. And anything with such description should deserve a serious attempt to removing, to the removal of it. ولو بالمجاهدة وتحمل المشاق. Even if it requires a struggle and the bearing of difficulty. فلا شفاء إلا في شرب الأدوية المرة البشعة. That there is no treatment except that there is bitter pills to be drank. You have to take things that are undesirable. وهذه مجاهدة يضطر إليه العباد كلهم. And this is a struggle that everyone is in need of it. And then he gives an example about a child. That when a child is young, he sees behavior that, you can have a tantrum and then you get what you want and you can show off and you can behave in a certain way. But then when you reach to a certain level of aql, certain level of understanding, then you have to abandon those sorts of behaviors and change. So and that requires effort to pull away from that. If you continue to behave like you're still throwing tantrums or behaving in a certain way to get things, then society will not accept that. So he's saying that, look, في علاجه مقامان, that there are two stations in the treatment of رياء. أحدهما قطع عروقه وأصوله التي منها انشعابه. That the first stage, is cutting. قطع عروقه is cutting the veins, cutting the roots of it, from which the branches sprout. That's the first stage. والثاني دفع ما يخطر منه في الحال is the eradicating of things that come that sprout from it as they come to life in the mind. So inshallah, I think we'll have time to do the first stage today. المقام الأول في قطع عروقه واستئصال أصوله. The first stage is, which is the cutting of the roots of it and uprooting of its veins through which it grows. وأصله حب المنزلة والجاه. And the root of it is that it is love of station and position. منزلة, station and position. وإذا فصل رجع إلى ثلاثة أصول. And if you were to study this and delineate it, you will see that it can be distilled down to three things. Three sources. وهي حب لذة المحمدتي, حب لذة المحمدتي, which is love of praise. The second is والفرار من ألم المذمة, and it's the escape, it's the avoidance of criticisms, the avoidance of people speaking bad about you. And the third, والطمع فيما في أيدي الناس, and it is covetousness of for what is what other people possess, for the possessions of others. الطمع فيما في أيدي الناس, covetousness, to want what other people have. Now, so, and in regard to this, he gives references to the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam emphasized to the Sahaba that your intention has to be clear. Whatever you intend, that is what you will get on the Day of Judgment. And there are several questions to call. Okay, I'll read this one. من غزى لا يبغي إلا عقالا فله ما نوى. That whoever goes into battle and fights, and all he wants is a rope, that the iqal, the type of a headband, then he will get that. That's all he will get. Yes. Yeah. So, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu saying that, you know, a person may go into battle and come back with just the silver on his saddle, because that's what he aimed for. طيب. فهذه الأمور ثلاثة, هذه الأمور الثلاثة هي التي تحرك المرائي إلى الرياء. That these three things that we mentioned, حب لذة المحمدة, الفرار من ألم المذمة, والطمع في أي فيما في عيدي الناس, that the things, these three things, the love of praise, the fear of criticism, and the yearning for what, for the possessions of what other people have, for stuff that people have. فهذه الأمور الثلاثة هي التي تحرك المرائي. So these three things is in essence what motivates, that governs the murai, the person who is involved in showing off. وعلاجه, and its treatment is ما ذكرناه في شطر الأول من الكتاب على الجملة. It is what we have mentioned in a summarized version in the beginning of the book. ولكننا نذكر الآن ما يخص الرياء. But here we are going to delineate what is in regard to ria specifically, and in showing off. وليس بخفي أن الإنسان إنما يقصد شيء ويرغب فيه لظنه أنه خير له ونافع ولذيذ. It's no doubt that a person will be inclined towards things that are that he thinks are good for him, that are beneficial for him, or that are pleasurable for him. وإما في الحال وإما في المآل. Either these things will be such immediately or eventually. فإن علم أنه لذيذ في الحال ولكنه ضار في المآل سهل عليه قطع الرغبة عنه. That if he knows that something is pleasurable and beneficial in the short term but harmful in the long term, then it is easier for him to remove himself from that, to cut himself off from that pursuance, from pursuing that. He will to fight it, it's easy. And he gives an example. He says, كمن يعلم أن العسل كمن يعلم أن العسل أن العسل لذيذ أن العسل لذيذ. The one who then knows that he's discovered that the honey is tasty. ولكن إذا بان له أن فيه سم أعرض عنه. But if he is then told that this honey, yes, it's tasty, but it has some poison in it, then he will remove himself from it. And this example, you keep this example in mind, because some things can be, most of the things, this joy, this short-term joy that we're getting from Riya, from showing off, is actually hidden. It has the concealed poison in it. So, وَفَكَذَلِكَ طَرِيقُ قَطْعِ هَذِهِ الرَّغْبَةِ أَنْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْمَضَرَّةِ. And so it is, and this is how you cut the roots of this, is by learning and becoming, bringing to the presence of the mind the danger of it, the danger, the harm that is there. وَمَهْمَا عَرَفَ الْعَبْدُ مَضَرَّةَ الرِّيَا. And as long as he's conscious of the harm of riya, وَمَا يَفُوتُهُ مِنْ صَلَاحِ قَلْبِهِ, and what he loses from in terms of the soundness of his heart, وَمَا يُحْرَمَ عَنْهُ فِي الْحَالِ مِنَ التوفيق, and what he is being deprived of good conduct, of good motivation. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْمَنْزِلَةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, and what he loses from cessation in front of Allah on the day of judgment. وَمَا يَتَعَرَّضُ لَهُ مِنَ الْعِقَابِ الْعَظِيمِ, and what he is exposing himself to a possible dangerous, a possible painful punishment. وَالْمَقْتِ الشَّدِيدِ, and the displeasure of Allah towards him. وَالْخِزْيِ الظَّاهِرِ, and the clear humiliation. حَيْثُ يُنَادَى عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَاقِ, that he will be called in front of all the people on the day of judgment. He will be labeled Allah, and this hadith we covered before. Ya Fajr, Ya Ghadir, Ya Murai, that he'll be called, oh wicked person, oh betrayer, oh show off. Ama istahiyata iza ishtarayta bi ta'ati Allahi gharad ad-dunya, that are you not ashamed that you bought in exchange for a trinket of the world, for a fortune of the world, something of the world, you have exchanged the obedience of Allah. You've bought that. وَرَاقَبْتَ قُلُوبَ الْعِبَادِ, and you observed, you were conscious, you monitored the hearts of people. وَاسْتَهْزَلْتَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, and you mocked the obedience of Allah. Mockery. Because if you're standing in prayer and lengthening your prayer for people, that is what you're doing. You're exchanging the pleasure of Allah for the people, for what's in the heart. رَاقَبْتَ تُرَاقِبْ قُلُوبَ النَّاسِ, so you're observing and you're monitoring the hearts of people. وَتَحَبَّبْتَ إِلَى الْعِبَادِ بِالتَّبَغُّضِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, and you sought the love of people by in exchange for distance from Allah, for the displeasure of Allah. وَتَزَيَّنْتَ لَهُمْ بِالشَّيْنِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, that you بِشَيْنِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, that you have adorned yourself for the people with shamelessness in front of Allah. وَتَقَرَّبْتَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْبُعْدِ عَمِنَ اللَّهِ, and you have sought their closeness to people with distancing from Allah. وَتَحَمَّدْتَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالتَّزَمُّمِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, and you sought their praises in exchange for the dispraise of Allah towards you. وَطَلَبْتَ رِضَاهُمْ بِالتَّعَرُّضِ لِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ, and you sought their pleasure in exchange for the anger of Allah. أَمَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ أَهْوَنَ عَلَيْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ, was there no one more insignificant to you than Allah? Now this discussion, these words need to resound in the heart in order to cut the root of it. فَمَهْمَا تَفَكَّرَ الْعَبْدُ فِي هَذِ الْخِزِ, whenever someone thinks clearly about this disgrace, this humiliation, this sort of disagreeable action, this disappointment, وَقَابَلَ مَا يَحْصُلُ لَهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَالتَّزَيُّنِ لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِمَا يَفُوتُهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, and he compares what he's losing in this world, what he's losing in the akhirah, for what he gains here. وَبِمَا يُحْبِطُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ ثَوَابِ الْأَعْمَالِ, and what he loses of reward for his actions. مَعَ أَنَّ الْعَمَلَ الْوَاحِدْ رُبَّمَا كَانَ يَتَرَجَّحُ بِهِ مِيزَانُ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَلَوْ خَلَصَ. That he's saying that, look, you have to ponder the situation that can occur on the day of judgment, that you can have all your deeds on one side and all you need is one deed more for your scale to tip in the right direction. And that one deed that you did, you actually have it, but it was discarded. It was rendered useless because of the wrong intention, because it was show. So he's saying that you're مَعَ أَنَّ الْعَمَلُ يَتَرَجَّ كَانَ يَتَرَجَّحُ بِهِ مِيزَانَ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَلَوْ خَلُصَ فَإِذَا فَسَدَ بِالرِّيَا, that Riya destroyed it. وَحُوِّلَ إِلَىٰ كَفَّةِ السَّيِّئَاتِ, and that one deed was thrown on the other side and it tipped the scale. فَتَرَجَّحَتْ بِهِ وَيَهْوِي إِلَى النَّارِ, and then it catapults him into the fire. فَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي الرِّيَاءِ إِلَّا إِحْبَاطُ عِبَادَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ لَكَانَ ذَلِكَ كَافِيًا فِي مَعْرِفَةِ ضَرِّهِ, and if Riya had no more problems, if Riya had no more danger, no more harm than the fact that it can destroy one deed, then that should be sufficient. That Riya, if it had no other harm, just one, And that one could be that one that you will need on the Day of Judgment on your scale to put on the other side. He said, لَكَانَ كَافِيًا فِي مَعْرِفَةِ ظَهْرِهِ, that should be sufficient for you to understand, for you to apprehend its full harm. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَعْ ذَٰلِكَ سَائِرُ حَسَنَاتِهِ رَاجِحَةٌ, that yeah, all his good deeds are on one side. فَقَدْ كَانَ يَنَالُ بِهَذِهِ الْحَسَنَةِ عُلُوَ الرُّتْبَةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, that with that one good deed, he could have earned closeness to Allah. He could have earned a station in front of Allah. فِي زُمْرَةِ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ, he could have entered into paradise and meet the prophets and meet the pious people and the successful ones. وَقَدْ حُتَّ عَنْهُمْ بِسَبَبِ الرِّيَا, but he was destroyed because of that one riya. وَرُدَّ إِلَىٰ صَفِّ النِّعَالِ مِنْ مَرَاتِبِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ, that he could have, from a stage of being in Jannah, he was put in the lowest of the low stages. هذا مع ما يتعرض له في الدنيا من هذا مع ما يتعرض له في الدنيا من تشتت الهم, and this, apart from this, what happens apart from this هذا مع وع, is that also من تشتت الهم بسبب ملاحظة قلوب الخلق, that his, what's also the tragedy that comes from this is that apart from that, he has tashattut. Shattata yashattutu means to be dispersed, to be scattered, scattered concerns. Your concerns are pulled in all different directions and leads to what? He's saying that tashattut ilham bisababi mulahadati alqulub. But when you are concerned about what people think, then your concern will be split. It will be dispersed. It will be shattered. And you will be worried about X, Y, Z all the way. You will be worried endlessly. And he said, فَإِنَّ رِضَ النَّاسِ غَايَةٌ لَا تُدْرَكُ, that the pleasure, that pleasing people is a goal that is that is unreachable, that you cannot. فَكُلَّمَا يَرْضَى بِهِ فَرِيقٌ يَسْخُطُ بِهِ فَرِيقٌ آخَرٌ, that as one group accepts something, another one they rejects it. And you know, when I was studying, a little boy, we were growing up, we used to read a story, and I always remember the story about that. The story about the man and the donkey, the father and the son and the donkey walking, and then somebody says, "Oh, stupid man! Well, you both are walking, and you have a donkey." So they both sat on the donkey, and then further down the line, somebody says to him, "What cruel people! Two of you on the donkey. That is cruel." So the father says, "Okay, well, I'm going to come off and let the boy ride." And then further down the line, someone says to him, "No. Oh, you have to, what a cruel man. Oh, what a disrespectful boy that he is riding a donkey and let his father walk." So then they switch places, and then going on, and the father is on the donkey, and somebody then says to him, "Oh, what a cruel man, you are riding a donkey and let your son walk, your little son walk. Well, how cruel is this?" So further on in the story, it ends up that both the father and the son were carrying the donkey on their back. And the moral of the story is that people will keep creating problems. So if you, and we can see this now, and what happens on social media is that everything is open for criticism. People are spending their time there criticizing each other, criticizing people just for the sake of it, having fun. So he's saying, فَإِنَّ رِضَ النَّاسِ رَغَايَةٌ لَا تُرَّكُ فَكُلِّمَا يَرْضَى فَرِيكٌ وَرِضَاهُ بَعْضِهِمْ فِي سَخَطِ بَعْضِهِمْ, that pleasing some will end up in the hatred of others. وَمَنْ طَلَبَ رِضَاهُمْ فِي سَخَطِ اللَّهِ, and whoever seeks the pleasure of people through the displeasure of Allah, سَخَطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, the سَخَطَ اللَّهُ, that Allah will be angry with you. وَأَسْخَطَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ, أيضاً عليه, and Allah will cause them to then be angry with him. ثم أي غرض له في مدحهم وإثار ذم الله لأجل حمدهم. So, and what purpose? Well, what good is there? Well, what purpose can there be that you are seeking their pleasure and also at the same time causing dissension and displeasure of Allah towards yourself? ولا يزيد مدحهم رزقا ولا أجلا, and their praise, people's praise for you, do not increase your sustenance. It does not increase your the length of your life. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ يَوْمَ فَقْرِهِ وَفَاقَتِهِ وَهُوَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, and it will not help you in the day of your most severe poverty, your most calamitous day, the day when you will be most bankrupt, and that is the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day when you will stand up there. People's opinion of you will not help you there. وَأَمَّا طَمَعُ فِيمَا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. And as for seeking, having covetousness for people's possessions, for what people have, and wanting and competing with the Jones and having what people have, فَبِأَنْ يَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ فَلْمِيَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى هُوَ الْمُسَخِّرُ لِلْقُلُوبِ بِالْمَنْعِ وَالْعَقَادَ. That Allah is the one who controls the heart in giving and restraining. وَأَمَّا الْخَلْقُ مُطَّرُّونَ فِيهِ. That they're all the creations are subjugated by Allah. لَا رَزِقَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That there is no sustainer except Allah. وَمَنْ طَمَعَ فِي الْخَلْقِ. And the one who yearns, who puts his faith in people, لَمْ يَخْلُوا مِنَ الذِّلَّةِ وَالْخَيْبَةِ. That the one who looks towards people for stuff in and ignores Allah, then he should know that he will not avoid, he will not end up, that he will inevitably end up in dishonor and failure and frustration. وَإِنْ وَصَلَ إِلَى الْمُرَى. Even if they give him something, لَمْ يَخْلُوا عَنِ الْمِنَّةِ وَالْمَهَانَةِ. That they will impose upon him a sense of favor and dishonor. فَكَيْفَ يَتْرُكُ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لِرَجَاءٍ كَاذِبٍ. How should he leave what Allah has, leave what is with Allah, for a false hope, وَوَهْمٍ فَاسِدٍ, and an imagination, for things that he imagines, that is corrupted. وَقَدْ يُسِيبُ وَقَدْ يُخْتِدٍ. These things may happen and may not. وَإِذَا أَصَابَ. And if he gets what he wants, فَلَا تَفِي لَذَّتُهُمْ بِأَلَمِ مَنَّتِهِ وَمَذَلَّتِهِ. That even if they give him something, then he will still be subjected to feeling the sense of favor and to fulfill his favor and dishonor. وَأَمَّا ذَمُّهُمْ. As for avoiding people's criticism, people's dispraise, then فَلِمَا يَحْضُرْ مِنْهُ. Why should you be wary of that if people say bad things to you or criticize you? وَلَا يَزِيدُهُ ذَمُّهُمْ شَيْئًا. But their criticism does not increase him in anything. مِمَّا لَمْ يَكْتُبُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Which Allah did not write for him. Allah did not decree. وَلَا يُعَجِّلْ أَجَلُهُ وَلَا يُؤَخِّرْ رِزْقَهُ. It does not delay his dying, his time of dying, or it does not deprive him of any sustenance. وَلَا يَجْعَلُهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ إِذَا كَانَ. وَلَا يَجْعَلُهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And it does not make him, people's criticism of you will not make you a person of the fire if you were a person of the heaven, if you were a person of Jannah, a person of Jannah, a person of heaven. وَلَا يُبَغِّذُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنْ كَانَ مَحْمُودًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And it will not make you become disliked in the eyes of Allah if Allah loved you, if Allah praised you, if Allah loved you. وَلَا يَزِيدُهُ مَقْتًا. And it does not increase anger for you إِنْ كَانَ مَمْقُوتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. If Allah dislikes you. فَالْعِبَادُ كُلُّهُمْ عَجْزَةٌ. But the people, creation are all powerless. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. They have no control of good. They have no control over benefit for themselves or harm. وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. That they have no control over life or death or resurrection. فَإِذَا قَرَّرَ فِي قَلْبِهِ آفَةُ هَذِهِ الْأَسْبَابُ وَضَرَّهَا. So if he reinforces in his heart the evils of these means and their harm, فَتَرَتْ رَغْبَتُهُ. Then he will be able to wean himself off of the inclination to show. وَأَقْبَلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ قَلْبُهُ. And his heart will then turn towards Allah. فَإِنَّ الْعَاقِلْ لَا يَرْغَبْ فِي مَا يَكْثُرُ دَرْهُ وَيَقِلُّ نَفْعُهُ. That the intelligent one does not become inclined towards things, does not remain inclined to things that has an abundance of harm and little benefit. If you can imagine, and this is what you have to internalize and apprehend, it has to be in your consciousness, and that's what this chapter is about. It's about bringing to your consciousness the volume of harm in compared to the little benefit that you're getting, that short benefit of doing something. وَيَكْفِيهِ أَنَّ النَّاسَ لَوْ عَلِمُوا ما في باطنه من قصد الرياء وإظهار الإخلاص لمقتوه. And this is the conclusion that makes it so ironic. He says that, and it should be sufficient for him, that if that person knows that these people who he's trying to, you know, in front of whom you're trying to impress, these same people who you're trying to impress, if they were to learn that you are actually not being sincere to Allah, you're actually trying to show off, they would dislike you. If they knew the truth, if they knew the truth about you're doing something good, you're giving loads of charity, ostensibly for Allah, pretending to do it for Allah, but you're actually doing it to impress people. If you were doing it such, and those same people who you're trying to impress were to find out, what would happen? They would dislike you. And the tragedy is, the truth is that they will find out. فَسَيَكْشِفُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَلَىٰ سِرِّهِ حَتَّى يُبَغِّضُهُمْ إِلَّا. On the day of judgment, they will be مَنْ رَأَى رَأَى اللَّهُ وَمَنْ رَأَى رَأَى بِهِ. That Allah, that the one who shows, Allah will show them on the day of judgment. وَمَنْ سَمَّعَ سَمَّعَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. That the one who is making people hear about him, Allah will show it. So these people who you're trying to impress will be on the day of judgment. They will understand. They will know who you are. وَيُعَرِّفُهُمْ أَنَّهُ مُرَائِنْ. And he will tell them that this person is a show-off. وَمَقْتُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And disliked by Allah. وَلَوْ أَخْلَصَ لِلَّهِ. And on the other hand, if he is sincere towards Allah, لَكَشَفَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ إِخْلَاصَهُ. Allah will tell them. They will know. They will learn that how sincere he was. وَحَبَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ. And Allah will make them love him. وَسَخَّرَهُمْ لَهُ. And he will make them serve him. وَأَطْلَقَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِحَمْدِهِ وَثَنَائِهِ. If he's truly sincere, then Allah can do all of these things. He will make them speak about you. وَمَا أَنَّهُ لَا كَمَالَ فِي مَدْعِهِمْ. And of course, there is no perfection in people's praise. Yes, this might happen, but that should not be a goal in our mind. وَلَا نُقْصَانَ فِي ذَنْبِهِمْ. And there is no harm in their criticism or what people are saying about you. There's no harm in that. كَمَا قَالَ شَاعِرْ بَنِي تَمِيمْ. He said, "Inna madhi zainun wa inna dhammi shainun." He said that my praise adorns and my dispraise defames. That he says that when I say something, that place, that person is beautified, and when I say that bad things about people, then that defames them. Then in response to that poem, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kadhabta," that you lied. ذَاكَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. That is Allah. Allah is the one who does this. إِذَا إِذْ لَا زَيْنَ إِلَّا فِي مَدْحِهِ. That there is no true adornment except being adorned by the praise of Allah. وَلَا شَيْنَ إِلَّا فِي ذَمِّهِ. And there is no real disgrace except in the disgrace of the anger of Allah. فَأَيُّ خَيْرٍ لَكَ فِي مَدْحِ النَّاسِ. So what good is there in the praise of people? وَأَنْتَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَذْمُومٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. What benefit is there? أَيُّ خَيْرٍ فِيهِ. What praise is there that Allah and that of people when you are disgraced in the eyes of Allah and you are of the person of fire? وَأَيُّ شَرٍ لَكَ فِي ذَمِّ النَّاسِ وَأَنْتَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَحْمُودٌ فِي ذُمْرَةِ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. And what evil can there be from the criticism of people when you are? What evil can that do to you? وَأَنْتَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَحْمُودٌ. And you are praiseworthy in front of Allah. وَفِي ذُمْرَةِ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. And you are in the circle of those who are close to Allah. فَمَنْ أَحْذَرَ فِي قَلْبِهِ الْآخِرَةِ وَنَعِيمَهَا الْمُؤَبَّدِ. And so the one who brings to mind in his heart, present in his mind, the Akhir, the next life, and its pleasures that are eternal, its eternal bliss. وَمَنَازِلِ الرَّفِيعَةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And the high status in front of Allah. استحقر ما يتعلق بالخلق أيام الحياة. He will belittle the importance of status in this world will be reduced in his mind. مع ما فيه من الكدورات. And with all the annoyances that this world has, and all the embitterments and discomforts, the wal-munaghimat, wal-munaghimat, wa-stama'a hammuhu, and that concern that was tashattut, that it spread out, will now be brought together, it will be joined, it will be consolidated into one concern. When sarafa ila Allah ta'ala qalbuhu, his heart will then have not to worry about that dispersed concern, will be replaced by a gathered concern to one, which is to Allah. Wa takhallasa min madammati ar-riya wa maqasati qulubi an-nas, and then he will be relieved of the blameworthiness of show, of showing off, and the measuring and monitoring of the hearts of people. Wa atafa min ikhlasihi anwarun ala qalbihi, and then from that will radiate, from that sincerity, enlightened, that nur, light will enlight on his heart, will pour onto his heart. Wa yansharih biha sadruhu, and his heart will become expansive. Wa yanfatih biha وينفتح بها له من لطائف لطائف المكاشفات ما يزيد به أنسه بالله. That, and then it will open his chest, his heart will become wide, and subtle favors of disclosures will open upon his heart, which will increase his intimacy with Allah. أنسه بالله واستحاشه من الخلق, and then his loneliness is he wanting to distancing from the crowd of people. واستحقاره الدنيا, and his lowering of the value of this world. واستعظامه للآخرة, and making great in his heart of the life beyond this life. وسقط محل الخلق من قلبه, and then the station of people, of giving, of worrying about what people has to say and think about him, will fall from his heart. وانحلت عنه داعية الرياء, and then the motivation for show will then fizzle away from him. وتذلل له منهج الإخلاص, and then a path towards إخلاص will open for him. فهذا ما قدمناه من شطر الأول, and this is the first part of it, which is the uprooting, and this is what we have done. في شطر الأول في الأدوية العلمية القاسية مغارس الرياء, and this is the first part that uproots the disease from the connections where the branches grow. That's part. Then inshallah next week we will study أما الدواعي, the other one, the ongoing treatment, the medication that has to do. We will do that next week inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Let's pray now inshallah. Okay, before you go, I want to read one last hadith, inshallah. This one, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because I don't want, it is important that we do not take these discussions, we have to take these discussions on board, but we should be careful not to become overwhelmed. Our purpose here is to improve our intentions and not to make you feel overwhelmed and then become paralyzed, because we don't want anyone to enter into paralysis. We will talk more about the concept of ifrat and tafrit, which is analysis paralysis and instinct, extinct instinct by instinct, and these sorts of things next week, inshallah. But for now, what I want you to bear in mind is that, like treating cancer, you have to uproot and you have to mitigate the damage on an ongoing basis, and inshallah that will happen. But I leave you now with this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Bakr, "Walladhi nafsi biyadihi, la shirku akhfa min dabib al-nam." That I swear in the name of whose hand my life is, that shirk, that this show, is more subtle than an ant. And he says, "Do you want me to tell? Ala adulluka ala shay'in idha qultahu dhaba 'anka qalilahu wa kathiru." Shall I tell you something that will help you to take off the big one and the small one of it? And they said yes. So he gave them this dua. He said, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bik wa ana a'lam." That, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from ascribing partners to you in a knowingly, in a way that I know. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam, and I seek forgiveness from you for that which I do not know. So this dua, you can start reading it. Inshallah, I'll put this in the chat now so that you can learn it and start reading it. Where do I do this? Chat, Yusuf. This one, yeah. Okay, somebody has been sending stuff. Yeah, okay, there we go. Yeah, so I'd like you to memorize that dua and read it from time to time, whenever you remember it, whenever you feel that you have a difficulty with Riya, and this, inshallah, will protect you and help you to develop in this path. Now, let us pray. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبوء لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. Oh Allah, you have granted us respite in time and knowledge to change the direction of our hearts, to change the direction of our hearts towards you in sincerity, yet we continue to falter and procrastinate. Please forgive us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, replace the yearning for position and celebrity in our hearts with genuine concern for what you can see in the secret chambers of our heart. Oh Allah, remove the impulse in our hearts to show. Oh Allah, cleanse our hearts and bless us with the attention to your scrutiny of our thoughts, to your scrutiny of our motivations. Oh Allah, we are your servants. We are your creature. We are your creature. We are your creations. We are your slaves. We have no other to turn to but to you, O Allah. Accept us and guide us to what pleases you. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا من مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا. اللهم اجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا أعنتنا على قضائها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم وفرج هم المهمومين ونفس كرب المكروبين واقض الدين عن المدينين واشف جميع مرضى المسلمين واشف جميع مرضى المسلمين واشف جميع مرضى المسلمين يا ربي يا كريم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصل اللهم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وبارك وسلم. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. طيب الحمد لله. I think some people were sharing something. YouTube and watch. Okay, last time's lectures. Okay, is there anything, anyone has any questions? Because this year, well, this week there isn't everyone's online, is it?
Yeah, everyone's online this week.
Next week, the class will open, huh?
Yeah, we have the booking for next week, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. Okay, then. Inshallah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khairan. Remember me in your du'as as well. Barakallahu. Okay, then. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.